بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والأنعام خلقها لكم فيها دفء ومنافع ومنها تأكلون ولكم فيها جمال حين تريحون وحين تسرحون وتحمل أثقالكم إلى بلد لم تكونوا بالغيه إلا بشق الأنفس إن ربكم لرحيم. والخيل والبغال والحمير لتركبوها وزينة ويخلق ما لا تعلمون. Last week we started Surah An-Nahl, which means the bee, and the discussion of the bee takes place later in the surah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes how He commands the bee to go to certain flowers and take from their nectar and make honey. But we will inshallah discuss that when that comes. Today Allah starts off with the discussion of animals. And as I mentioned last week, this is a Makki surah. And in Makki surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focuses on His greatness and His creation to increase the iman of the people. Okay, so the purpose of Makki surahs generally is for tawheed and for people to understand the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the one and only creator, and it is in His power to create everything and anything that He has created, and we should ponder into His creation so that we can understand His greatness and His power. So these verses that we are about to read, they talk about the animals that He has created and the benefits that we derive from them, and you know, from that we understand His greatness, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْأَنْعَامَ خَلَقَهَا. And the animals, He created them. So the actual sentence is supposed to be, خَلَقَ الْأَنْعَامِ. هُوَ خَلَقَ الْأَنْعَامِ. He created the animals. But الْأَنْعَامِ is mentioned in the beginning, and خَلَق is mentioned after that. So the ruling is, in Arabic, تأخير شيء أو تقديم شيء حقه التأخير يفيد الحصر. If you bring forward something that is supposed to be afterwards, then it gives the benefit of stress. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is focusing, He's telling us to focus on the animals. Those things that we see around us, meaning the animals, Allah is telling us, the animals Allah created. Focus on them, think about them, as opposed to Allah saying He created the animals, it which just gives the meaning of His creation. Here the emphasis is that the animals are there, ponder into them, ponder into that creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through that understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness. لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءٌ وَمَنَافِعُ وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ. For you in them, specifically for you. Here again we have the same thing. Lakum is supposed to be the end. From the center, lakum is supposed to come at the end. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it forward. Lakum means for you. So because it's being brought forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, specifically for you, O human beings. This is especially for you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. And especially for you, in them, in these animals, there is something called dif'un. Dif'un means protection. And specifically, protection from the cold. So, generally, why do we wear the clothes that we wear? To protect us from the cold. And in particular, when we wear things made out of animal skin, or wool, or animal hair, it is usually to protect us from the cold. So this is what dif'un means. So specifically Allah is saying that in these animals, meaning in their hair, in their skin, in their wool, there is protection from cold from you. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mention the protection from heat, but later on in the surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses that issue. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ سَرَابِيلَ تَقِيكُمُ الْحَرَّ وَسَرَابِيلَ تَقِيكُمْ بَأْسَكُمْ. So that inshallah will be discussed later on, that animal skins are also used for the purpose of shade in tents, okay, and that also protects people from heat. And nowadays we rely on other means to protect ourselves from the heat, like air conditioning and insulation in our houses and so on. But here specifically, the mention of animals here, Allah is talking about the protection from the cold. لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءٌ وَمَنَافِعٌ. And specifically for you, O human beings, those animals have benefits. What kind of benefits do they have? They have the benefit of milk, butter, fat. Okay, this is from the perspective of the dairy products that we derive from their milk. And this is from all kinds of animals. Okay, sheep milk, goat milk, cow's milk, buffalo milk, camel milk. Okay, all of these animals, they provide milk for the humans so that we can benefit from the different varieties of dairy products that we can derive from them. Okay, so manafi', this is one type of manfa'ah or benefit that we can derive from them. The second thing is, the thing specifically mentioned right now, a minute ago, the issue of usage of their wool, usage of their hair, usage of their skin for various products, for shoes, jackets, clothing, etc. And finally, using them to carry our weights and do the works of burden. And again, nowadays, a lot of the stuff has become mechanical in terms of the farm animals and so on. They're not used as much in the West, but still in many countries, the use of oxen and horses, etc., to do plowing and so on, it is still used, still available in many, many countries. So, different benefits we has given us. مِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ, and from many of them you also consume. This in Arabic is known as, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used in general manafi', benefits, and then one of the greatest benefits, this is called تَخْصِيص بَعْدَ التَّعْمِيمِ. Benefits, all general benefits are mentioned, and amongst them consumption, but specifically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned consumption at the end. Let's focus on something very specific, something very important. And that is that a living thing is actually giving up its life for our consumption. That's a living thing. It's a living, breathing animal, just like us, but it gives up its life so that we can consume it, so that we can eat it. That's something we should pay attention to, specifically our kids. When they say, well, I don't want to eat this meat. I don't want to eat this piece of meat because I don't like it. Well, an animal actually gave up its life for you. An animal gave up its life for you so that you could consume it, and you're complaining about it. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically says, وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ, and from some of these animals, you are actually eating. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ. And specifically for you, these animals, there is beauty. There is beauty when they return back from the pastures and when they go to the pastures. Pastures. Pastures meaning the fields to graze. Okay, so when we look at these animals, we look at the beautiful horse that is, its hide is glimmering in the sun, and its hair is flowing, and it's galloping in the wind, and its mane and its tail are flowing. We see in it a beauty. The camel, we see in it a specific type of beauty. The cow in it, we see a specific type of beauty. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that specifically for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a beauty when they come back from the pastures, from grazing, and when they go to the grazing. So the question is, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use come back first and going later? Because they go first and then they come back afterwards, right? So the answer to that, the Mufassirin say, that there is more beauty for a person who sees the cows when they're coming back from grazing. Why? Because when they're coming back from grazing and they're about to be milked, their udders are full of milk, and a person is wondering basically that, you know, this looks so wonderful and so delicious that I could just take that cow and milk it and have so much milk. When it comes back from grazing, that's when a person, when he sees these animals, he appreciates their beauty even more. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used coming back before going. So indeed, specifically for you, in these animals there is beauty. They are coming back from grazing and when they are going out for grazing. وَتَحْمِلُ أَثْقَالَكُمْ إِلَى بَلَدٍ لَمْ تَكُونُوا بَالِغِيهِ إِلَّا بِالْغَيْرِ. And they carry your weights for you. They carry your weights for you to such lands that you could not have reached except with difficulty, with such difficulty of your lives. So just imagine if you had to go from, even from one town to the other. Nowadays obviously we have the cars, but just imagine if you had to take a heavy burden, let's say a furniture, a couch, and carry it on your back from one end of Estes to the end of Estes. A mile and a half. For a human being to do that, it's impossible. But put it on a horse, put it on a camel, put it on an elephant, they will happily carry it for you and they will obey you and do that from one end of the street to the other. And not only that, from one town to the other, from one country to the other, they do that for you. This, again, what is mentioned in another verse of the Quran, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wama kunna lahu muqrinin. Allah who provided us for these animals and we couldn't have overpowered them. Okay, just imagine a horse, if it wants to kick you, it's enough to kill you. Elephant, in many countries, Thailand, India, Africa, people actually can ride animals, ride elephants, and carry weight with these elephants and control the elephants. A human being is controlling an elephant. Okay, that elephant that can just take you in its trunk, pick you up and throw you on the ground and kill you instantly and crush you with its foot. You crush your head with its foot. A human being is controlling it. So this is again something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled the human being to do. So these animals, they carry your weights from one country to the other, which you couldn't have done except with the difficulty of your lives. إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَرَؤُوفُ رَحِيمٌ. Indeed, your Lord, He is gentle and merciful to you. Because He knows your weaknesses. And He knows how weak you are in comparison to the animals. So He enabled those animals to be submissive to you and to be obedient to you. This is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, in this day and age, the animals have been replaced by vehicles, trucks, airplanes, ships, and so on. Again, all have been provided to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the intelligence to build those things and make those things. So again, everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الْخَيْلَ وَالْبِغَالَ وَالْحَمِيرَ لِتَرْكَبُوهَا وَزِينَةً وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And horses, and mules, and donkeys, so that you could ride them, and also as a source of beauty. So again, people that have these animals, horses, donkeys, camels, and specifically mentioned here horses, mules, and donkeys, so that you can ride them. And this, so that you can ride them, it is actually a means of a difference of opinion amongst the fuqaha about the consumption of these animals. Can you consume them or not? Which I'll discuss in a minute. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically says that you should use these animals for riding on them, and there's nothing wrong with that. And also as a means of beauty. And He created what you do not know. He created what you know. So things we know about animals, and then there are many, many species that we don't even know about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. So what about consumption of these meats? So Imam Abu Hanifa is of the opinion that horses, mules, and donkeys, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned that they are for your riding. You should only use them for riding. Therefore, the consumption of the meat of that animal is not going to be permissible. And this is the opinion of the majority of scholars. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, it's narrated from him that he used to dislike, regard as makruh, the meat of horses and mules and donkeys, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that animals to be consumed are mentioned in the ayat before, and specifically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned these animals and has said litarkabuha, so that you can. So, the opinion of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu also. However, Imam Ahmad narrates from Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Prophet ﷺ has forbidden us from consuming the meat of horse, mule, and donkey. Okay, so this is again the same opinion. But it's also mentioned in Sahihain, meaning Bukhari and Muslim, Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an luhum al humur al ahliya wa adhina fi luhum al khayl. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade the consumption of the donkeys, the wild donkeys, but he gave permission to consume the meat of horses. And Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu also says, on the day of Khaybar, we slaughtered a khayl, meaning a horse, and also we slaughtered mules and donkeys, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade us from mules and donkeys, and he didn't forbid us from consuming the horse. And it's mentioned in Sahih Muslim from Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that we slaughtered in the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam a horse and we consumed it while we were in Medina. So the fact that they were in Medina, this shows that it was in the latter part of the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So this shows that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam didn't forbid them. So if you go actually to places like the southern Russian states, or the ones that used to be in Russia, but they've been made independent, like Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, all of these countries, actually, they consume the meat of horse quite regularly. In fact, it's regarded as a delicacy. Once I was there, and I was ate it by mistake, but I was told afterwards that this was actually horse meat that you consumed. So this is actually quite common in those countries that it is consumed. And also the milk of the female horse is also consumed regularly in these countries. So the horse has a very, very specific role, and it's kind of a very key part of the life of these people that live in these southern or ex-Russian states, and it is part of their life. In any case, there's a difference of opinion. Some scholars say it's permissible, some scholars say it's not permissible to consume the meat of the horse. But the issue of donkeys and mules, the majority say that it's not permissible to consume those. Those should be only used for riding and for carrying burdens. With that, we finish, inshallah. We'll continue with this next week, starting from ayah number 8. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand what has been said and heard.
طَلَعَ الْبَدْرُ عَلَيْنَا لِثَنِيَّاتٍ يَدَهَا وَجَبَ الشُّكْرُ عَلَيْنَا مَدَعَ لِلَّهِ دَهَا أيها المبعوث فينا جئت بالأمر المرى جئت شرفت المدينة مرحبا